I hate to whinge, but your queen has testicles.
Hello, welcome to I Hate to Whinge, the podcast. That was Louisa Panetta. Happens to have the same last name as me because, well, she happens to have the same dad as me. And mum. She's my sister. And she's a vet. And with her colleague, friend and housemate Annie Cadzo on the phone, today we chat all things vet life. Seriously, it buzzes me out that my little sister saves things for a living, like actual things, while I just talk all day. On the topics, we chat pet euthanasia, cat ladies, and, well, cat for JJs. Although it took about 5 minutes for me to realise that's, in fact, what we were talking about. Hope you enjoy this edition of I Hate to Whinge, the podcast.
I hate to whinge, but your queen has testicles.
Okay. A queen. Is that literally what you call a female cat?
It is.
I will never think of queen bee the same way again. All right. Who wants to tell the story about the queen having testicles?
All right. So this is at my previous work. We had a vet nurse and she was adamant that she had a female cat and she was confused as to why it wasn't going into season. So she brought this female cat to be de-sexed.
Why it wasn't going into season? Is that how you politely say it wasn't bleeding all over the garden?
Yeah, well, I mean, cats probably don't bleed very much, but, I mean, it's not showing the behavioural signs that a
cat... Do cats get PMS?
Yeah, they do.
What?
I think they get horny. Isn't that very
morning? They start, like, coming off and, like, rubbing themselves up against you. And,
is
like,
that what it means when a cat comes in?
No, not all the time, but, like, when they do come into season, they can be quite, like, vocal as well.
They're whingy.
Yeah, more whingy.
They get hungry. They demand cake and ice cream. All right, anyway, cat wasn't being seasoned.
Yeah, so she's like, oh, well, if she's not going to come to season, then, you know, I might as well just de-sex her. So it wasn't me. I was not the vet that did it. So my other colleague goes ahead and cuts this cat open.
Was that you, Annie? No.
No, it wasn't Annie. No, it wasn't. So she's going in, having a look, can't find the ovaries, can't find the cervix. Is like, maybe the cat doesn't have any. And then they're like, well, maybe you should have a look and see if it does have testicles. Sure enough, it had testicles.
The whole time. How old's the cat?
Oh, it was like 2 or 3 years old.
What did you do with them when you found them? Do you remove them anyway?
Yeah, well, yeah, she wanted it to sex, so yeah. So I can't remember the cat's name. It was like Sam, then had to be called Sally.
What? Sam is totally both girl and guy name.
Yeah, but Sally's a little bit more girly. Okay.
The cats never really listen to their name anyway.
This is true.
Yeah, probably
this
not.
This is completely true. Who are your colleagues?
Pardon?
Who's in the background?
2 nurses and the dogs. I'll just move out here.
It's what our work's like. It's never quiet. We work in a vet clinic.
Really?
Oh, there's a constant.
There's a shit in the hole.
Oh, no.
What?
Who did that? Oh, no.
What does that mean?
Oh, no. Oopsies. And his dog, Poppy, had a bit of an accident.
And what's the hole?
No, in the hole.
Oh, in the hole.
Not in the hole.
Sounded like a really great game.
Yeah, she's really, really trying to go in a hole.
All right, so I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
How do you tell what sex your cat is? Is it true, like when we were kids and we'd go lift up their tail and look for a couple of holes?
Yeah, pretty much.
If they're old enough and big enough, they'll have massive testicles there too. So,
okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's different shapes as well. Like the females have like a little, would you agree, Annie, there's like a bit of a Y shape?
I think that's more rabbits.
Oh, well, I mean, they do look different though.
It does look different and you can push on the males and their penis should poke out. Yeah, extrude, that's the right word. Yeah.
Wow, I mean, would you... you wouldn't recommend an everyday person to just go start poking cats.
I guess it depends on how nice the cat is.
Might lose some fingers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it just depends how much they enjoy that kind of thing.
But I want to know more now about the rabbits and the Y shape.
Well, females have a Y shape, kind of like if you look underneath their tail. What do
you,
like
oh, I thought you meant their body. You know how we have an hourglass shape? You're like, if you just lift the rabbit up, it's kind of like a Y. You know how if you're a doctor of people?
No, we don't. But anyway, we can try
pretend. Generally speaking, one, you get to be called, like, you have doctor on your license and your passports and your whatnot. Mm. Do you guys have doctor on yours?
Mm, yeah. We could.
No, not on my passport.
We could, but we don't because it's kind of, I don't know, a bit corny, don't you think?
And I don't want to get mistaken for an actual doctor if someone's really
Is there
unwell.
A doctor here?
Yes, but I can only treat your furry friends.
Well, here's what I want to ask. Say, you know, I've been on a plane before and they asked for any doctors or nurses to come forward for a bit of an emergency. Some little girl couldn't breathe. She was fine. I'm not laughing because that happened. I'm not a horrible person. But say, like, you're out on the road and you see a bee in distress. No, you see an animal in distress. Mm. Could you do an emergency operation if need be?
If we had the
without teeth.
If you had a scalpel just in the back of your car, could you just...
We were actually talking about this yesterday.
Were you?
Yeah, because we went to... we were on Bruny Island.
Bruny Island.
Sorry, Bruny Island. And we saw a roadkill. And then Johnny's like, get out of the car, Louisa. I'm like, go and fix it. And it was like cold stone dead. And he's like, go and fix it.
What would be your first plan of attack there?
Probably to find a rock that's closest.
What?
Well, I mean, like, how am I going to fix it?
Roll over it with the car.
If it was stone cold, no rock was required. You probably just should have dug a hole and given it a gracious burial.
I mean, if it was, no, I meant like if it
I'm
was.
I'm assuming it's already dead, so it's dead. You don't have to do much.
Easy solution.
If it's already flat.
So a bad day in a job as a vet is a day when, you know, you can't save an animal or you have to put one down. You said you don't like putting cats and dogs down, but people are idiots. Elaborate.
Oh, Addie's probably going to disagree with me in some points, I guess.
Please do.
I just think, it's just annoying when people haven't trained their dogs properly. And, yeah, I'm sure there's some dogs that are aggressive by nature, but a lot of them can have training. And yeah, it's not nice when you have a two-year-old or even a one-year-old dog that needs to come and be put to sleep because people don't have the time or they haven't put enough time into fixing those behavioural problems. So that's my opinion. What do you say, Annie?
Well, I guess it depends on what situation they're coming in with. I guess if they're really, really aggressive and there's a chance that somebody can be hurt by them, then I guess even though it's not their fault, it's not a great thing. You know, they're not going to be able to be rehomed even through, you know, your animal welfare leagues and your RSPCAs and things like that. So I guess it depends on the situation. Do you mean only ones that appear healthy in putting them down, or are you thinking just putting animals down in general?
No, I mean, when they're, like, physically healthy and then, you know, and then it comes into us and it's not aggressive towards us and it's like, I mean, I know it's circumstantial as well, but, you know, when it comes to see us, we've never seen them before and the dog's not even aggressive towards us and they've come and getting it put to sleep. You really do question, is it really aggressive or are people trying to find an easy way out? I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know the answer to that, but.
Yeah, I don't know. And it's a hard one because, you know, for most people, and I guess not everyone is going to be as emotionally attached to animals as we might be, but it should be a hard decision to make. So you like to hope that when they're coming that they have had a really hard think about it.
Yeah.
That there aren't any other options. I've certainly had people that have just, you know, been bawling their heart out and it's for the same reason, but they just don't want to do it, but they can't see any other way out. And nobody's going to accept it. That's the hard thing, is that you can't rehome an animal that might then injure someone. It's really hard.
Yeah.
It's not something you want to see. And the I guess the thing is that you want to have it, you know, if you can, avoid that thing happening before it happens rather than having to deal with it once it's already got all those issues with it.
Are you on call? Is someone in need right now?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, you guys have both been, like, in the industry for a couple of years each. Honestly, because I didn't realise how much this was the case until living with you as my sister, but how much of your weekly work involves, like, How many animals would you have to put down a week? Is it a big chunk of your job?
It varies heaps though. Like some weeks you just seem like you're doing that and that only. And then other weeks you don't see anything.
What did I have the other week? 3 hours and I put down 4 animals.
Oh my God. All cats and dogs?
Yeah.
And they all had reasons, I think. Most of them.
All right, this is a really hard question, and you know, you guys can answer any way you like. Cats or dogs?
What's better?
Yep.
Oh, I can't answer that question. I love both of them.
I'm so diplomatic.
No, I really am. I'm a crazy cat lady, but I also love my dog. So, Annie, what would you say, Annie?
I think dogs. I love cats, but I'd never have one. Especially, I always used to think, you know, yeah, I'll have a cat one day, but. Since working, I'm like, I can't stand the smell of their shit. I'm not having a cat.
Not even a metaphor. And you know what? And the problem is you can never tell whether they're a girl or a boy, so you don't know what to name them. It's a massive issue. You know what I love? So I don't know about you, Annie, because I haven't lived with you and you're not my sister, but Louisa here has a tendency to save animals. How many years have you been a vet?
Oh, I've lost count.
A couple of years. How many animals have you brought home?
Oh, a number.
Come on. Can you start listing what you've brought home? You!
Me? Oh, me?
Yes, you. Okay, let's start at the beginning.
All right. First year of vet. I think I got Lewis, my cat.
Yep.
You
saved him from?
I saved him from being euthanized.
Yep.
I got Alfie, the budgie.
Why was there a spare budgie just hanging around?
The other vet's dog had it in its mouth.
Okay, all
and right. It got an injured foot, so okay. I didn't want to put it all to
right,
sleep.
So there's a dog, there's the budgie.
Yep, and then there was the lamb that someone brought in.
Yep.
And I bottle fed that and then took it home.
Yep.
Oh no, I think.
And then the dog.
Oh, I had lots of dogs that I looked after during the year. I didn't keep them, but I looked after them. I took them home.
Mm-hmm.
I had a
you
Joey.
A husky, didn't you?
What's that?
Was there a husky one?
Yeah,
that
there
you
was
kept
a husky.
A little while?
Yeah, there was a husky, and then I had a kelpie that I took home to trial, and then she did. It didn't work out. So, we sent her to one of the working dog rescue companies in Adelaide.
Yeah.
And then I got my own dog, but that was off my own back.
Okay.
I wanted a dog, so I got her. I reckon that's about it.
That's about it. What about you, Annie? How many animals live at your house because you've saved them?
Not too many. I normally save birds and things like that and then take them home to my parents after about having them for probably about a month and then just farm them off to them. So.
That's what I've done.
Well, that's exactly what Louise has done. Luckily, both your parents live on farms.
It does make it a lot simpler having the space to have them. But I haven't taken too many at home and I guess a lot of them die as well, which is a bit sad when you do take them home.
Well, because yours are birds, though. They don't, you know.
Birds aren't the toughest species around, so, yeah.
Well, what I'm hearing is Louisa gets too emotionally attached to all of her patients. Now, Annie, I don't know about you, but Louisa always tells me.
Well, what are you going to say? I don't know what you're going
to say. She says she likes her patients, but she doesn't like their owners often. Are you in the same boat?
It's not a lot often. Simpler without them sometimes.
Yes. Thank you.
What did you say? It's easier.
It's simpler sometimes if you just got to do whatever you wanted, but you have to, you know, you have to discuss with what their outcomes are as well as the costs and things like that.
How do you communicate with your patients, guys? What animal was that? How many monkeys come through your clinic?
I don't know. I just
you're a nut job. You are a nut job. Can I quickly ask? So I know you guys studied together, right? And was it true? Whoever wants to tell the story, that there was a girl who was allergic to animal hair. Was it animal? What was she? Who? How did she get past it? Like what? Did you ever talk to her? Yeah,
I think.
It was, you know who it was.
Has antihistamines, yeah.
Yeah.
What was she allergic to?
No, she got desensitized. I won't name her, but she was allergic, particularly thing was horse hair and cat hair, I reckon. And every time she used to touch them, she'd have to take an antihistamine to touch the animal. But during the process of going to uni, she was actually getting desensitized to it. So she was having injections to stop her from being so allergic.
Did you talk to her about like why she chose? I just love that she chose a career in vet science when she was allergic to some of the, you know, prime animals she'd be working with.
It's a challenge, I guess.
Did you talk to her about it?
I don't know if she knew she was allergic to horses until she got to uni anyway. And now she doesn't work with horses, so that's quite helpful at least.
Yeah.
What is the craziest patient you've had? Like, craziest, whether it was the most amazing or the most scary or the most memorable patient you've each had?
Mine was a baby wombat.
Must be so.
Yeah.
Who was it?
It was just a wildlife, and it had a little staple. It had a staple stuck in its esophagus, and so I was able to endoscopically. Is that the right word?
Whatever you say, I'm going to believe.
Is that right, Annie? Endoscopically removed it from its esophagus. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's right.
How did you find? Who was it? A pet?
Someone was looking after it, and I don't even know how they knew it had swallowed it. I don't really understand how they did it, but we did an X-ray and we saw it, and so I ended up getting it out, which was kind of cool.
Cool.
What about you, Annie? What have you done? That's pretty cool.
I have to go to a consult.
Oh, no. Are you serious?
Yeah. It's just been booked in.
Well, you run.
Yes. You can call me back in a little while if you want to continue.
Well, this is cool. What are you doing your job? That's fine.
Good luck. Bye.
So at this point, we thought we'd just abandon the podcast for a bit, let Annie Save an Animal, we'd get back to it. Turns out it was a little bit more serious than she thought, so she couldn't come back. So we finish off without her. But thanks, Annie, anyway. That got serious. That got serious real quick.
It does. That's what happens in our job.
We can't say anything because there's client confidentiality.
Yeah.
But she has to stay with that client right now.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a dog?
It is a dog.
Okay. That's all we can say.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all we can say. How is it annoying being on call? Not annoying. That's not the right word.
It's an inconvenience. It's a bitch, to be honest. it's annoying. Like, you can't plan anything. And then when you do plan something, then you get called out. And I mean, it's fair enough. You're on call. You shouldn't plan things. But, you know, even a simple thing, just taking the dog for a walk. That minute you take the lead out, you're 5 minutes from home and you get a call. And it's like, I haven't had a hot call all day. And the minute I take the dog to a call.
Like your dog.
Yeah, my dog.
The minute
dog.
You do something for yourself.
Yeah. Yep. Or even like baking a cake. You can't even bake a cake. Like I did that once. I started baking muffins and I had to turn the oven off midway between cooking those muffins. And obviously it's not going to rise properly. That was really frustrating because I love food and like to ruin my food.
How inconvenient.
I know.
Were the muffins ruined?
I think so. I can't really recall that, but I'm sure they would have been.
But did you save a puppy that day?
Probably. My muffins were shit.
If you could whinge about one thing, what would it be?
When short people have umbrellas and they poke me in the eye.
Does that really happen?
Yes.
I can't eat banana bread because it's got all the gluten in it and it makes my tummy sore.
Avocados are way too expensive.
To whinge, but I get course of studies in.
All right, this is the part of the podcast where you get to nominate a whinge of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Who would you like to nominate?
To all those people that are whinging about the changing of flavours in the pizza shapes.
Oh, and barbecue shapes.
Yeah, I mean, like, seriously.
I haven't bought a box of deliciously flavoured biscuits because I know that they're not helping my waistline, but they've changed the recipe or something.
Yeah, I haven't tried them myself either, but seriously, come on. They're just barbecue shapes. Like, they're bad for you anyway. Just stop whinging.
Although, barbecue shapes were pretty good.
Yeah, they were, but there's worse things in life than the changing of flavours of a barbecue shape.
Like, yeah, like imagine if you found out they were sprinkling arsenic on them. Then complain.
Then I'd be worried.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to leave the anecdote that did involve, did you hear about the time I was living in a town of WA?
Totally missed
that. Fast food outlet. Oh. Someone got angry at their boss, sprinkled up. No, it wasn't arsenic. It was.
Arsenic's pretty toxic, personally.
wasn't arsenic. It was something else that's white and makes you sick.
Cocaine?
Wasn't cocaine either.
White.
What was it? Kids started getting sick. Oh, what's white and could make
There's lots of things that are white.
It was talcum powder. There was talcum powder on the chips. Caustic soda.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, off the topic. to the people that have been whinging about barbecue shapes, changing their flavour.
Just get over it.
Just get over it.
Yeah.
And big shout out to Arnox. We love you.
You make good Tim Tams.
Yeah. Don't you change the Tim Tam flavour and we'll all be fine. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And thank you to Annie. Mm-hmm. And good luck to the dog that she had to run off and save.
Hope all is good.
It's so cold.
Well, you know, things happen.
Oh, God, the life of a vet.
I can't be positive because it might not end up being positive.
You're supposed to be positive.
I'm a realist. That's what vets taught me, is to be realistic. Oh. And then when good things happen, you're just ecstatic. You're like, yeah.
Okay. All right, on that uplifting note. Thanks.